for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Thank God. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. You enjoy the word? Amen. These things speak and exhort with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You all like that, don't you? Haven't got one person here going to raise up in righteous indignation. Not one person, not one person going to rise up and say, read it all and don't read none of it. Still ain't going to do it. No, no. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Lord God Almighty, still sitting there looking at me like a bump in a log or a knot in a pickle. You know what they're trying to tell me? They're trying to tell me I left out a word. The word is rebuke. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all long suffering. Let no man despise thee. Why is it that when a man does the job of rebuking, people despise him? And you can sit there all you want to. You know, I've been around too many years, and I even know that even the best Christian, the finest saint of God that you can meet, the moment you start rebuking, that moment you start feeling a natural kickback. Yet the Bible said, let no man despise you. All right. What's the matter, honey? I really can't tell you how to do it. Pablo should be here taking care of that for us. Excuse me a minute. Let me see if I can turn it down. Can you turn that tape recorder off for me? 2 verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to talk this morning about hope. Reading from Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 9, 6th chapter book of Hebrews and verse 9. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say it one more time.
Praise the Lord.
Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9, it reads like this. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany or belong to salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful. That means slow. I like that. You know, we sort of commend folk for being slow today. You get a man out there, he'll jump in and do a job and get it over with. Huh? You'll find a man who is seeking to accomplish something. But we like to be slow today. The only thing we're not slow on is talking. We're a bunch of fast talkers, slow hearers. That ye be not slothful or slow, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. 18th verse of the same chapter. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. I believe we have just a little bit too much of a ring in that brother up here. I don't know if you can hear it or not, but it's kind of hard to figure that system out the way he got it hooked up. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, you notice I've been using some scriptures that are filled with the word hope. Looking for that blessed hope, steadfast in hope, an anchor that is hope. And Jesus Christ, which is our hope. I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, who is our hope, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I don't know if you ever traveled around the country very much, but I have no doubt that when Brother George came down here, he had already made arrangements to stay at the Ramada Inn, I believe, that your company. When you walked in there, you had reservations. When he walked into that Ramada Inn, he could have went anytime. He walked up and said, "My name's George so-and-so. I'm with such and such company. And I got reservations to stay here." And they said, "Yes, sir, we got your room ready."
All right.
Reservations! Think about it. When you get to heaven, you're going to have a reservation. You're going to say, you're going to get up there and you're going to come to the bar of justice and your name's going to be called and you're going to pass the test and you're going to walk over to the booking in room and say, "My name is such and such and so," and you're going to have a reservation. But your name's going to be in the book. Somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven just for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith on the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Reading from the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 5. And it reads like this. Colossians 1 verse 5. For the hope which is laid up or reserved for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill that word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I can see why the Apostle Paul many times said, "I would love to give you meat, but you're not able to bear it."
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you remember, you were here last Sunday, you have heard me talk about the reason why God made man in the very beginning. I doubt very seriously, now I'm going to be as serious as I know about, I doubt very seriously whether are very many people can tell you why God, who is the creator of the entire universe, a God who can speak worlds into existence just by opening his mouth and saying, "Let there be."
Amen.
A God who creates billions of stars and just flung them out there in the air. A God who can fill the expanse of time and eternity and then create more time and eternity. Why did he take time to stop in his great almighty existence to create man, who he knew before he ever made they were going to fail? You know, most people don't want to grasp that, but God, before he ever said, "Let us make man," knew that man was going to sin. Knew it. I remember some time ago preaching down in the little town of Chiefland. And I was preaching that scripture where Jesus said, many will come in that day saying, Lord, Lord, have we not healed the sick in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? And Jesus turned around and said this to them. He said, but then the Lord will say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Here we find God telling us that there are people living on the face of the earth, no matter what they do, no matter what they accomplish, even if it's good works, even if it's casting out devils or healing the sick, God says, I never knew you. And yet on the other hand, there's people who have lived on godly lives and practiced sin, and then the grace of God reached down and saved them. And he said, before you was born, I knew you. You were chosen in Christ and picked. Philippians, the first chapter, I believe it is, I think it's the first chapter of Galatians. I'll have to go look it up. It says he foreknew us. He chose us in himself before the foundation of the world. He chose us. He actually picked us out. Here are tens of thousands foreknowledge of multiplied millions of souls. But God reached out and said, I'm going to use that one. I'm going to pick that one. I'm going to pick that one. And he put your name in the book. Hallelujah. And he chose you before the foundation of the world. No wonder the songwriter said, why he should care for me will always be a mystery. Why he picked me when nobody else would have picked me. When I wouldn't have picked me. Why he chose me, I don't know. Oh, hallelujah, in loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, in love he lifted me.
Hallelujah.
Last Sunday, for the first time in 35 years of preaching, God showed me clearly, precisely why he made, and even though he knew he was going to sin.
Amen. Amen.
We think God made us to give us cars and bless us with homes and that we live down here. That was the Father's thing from his mind. Believe it or not, God is a jealous God, a selfish God. I won't give my glory to nobody else. I am totally selfish. To God be the glory. All the honor, all the praise belongs to me, and I'm going to have it. And when I get done, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess. The attributes that can be sin in you are not sin in God. God can hate and not be sinful. God can be angry and not be sinful. God can be jealous and not be sinful.
Amen.
Here it is. I'm looking at those strange looks on his mind. You blank my...
Thank you, Jesus.
Didn't God say I'm a jealous God?
Amen.
You can't tolerate jealousy. Jealousy in you would bring you more heartache and pain and struggle than you ever saw in your life. The Bible said jealousy in mankind is crueler than the grave. Yet jealousy in God is not cruel at all.
Amen.
It's actually a demonstration of love.
Amen.
In humanity, it's a lack of love. In God, it's an act of love. Lord, can I say,
yes.
Let that come out of me.
Yes.
I hope that came out good, because that sounded good as it was coming out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anger in you can cause so much trouble and heartache. But anger in God will only produce more righteousness, more holiness, more perfection. Come on, God, get angry. Come on, God, get angry. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I wish somebody say praise the Lord. You know, time and time again, I get in this pulpit and I try to tell people, I am not a theologian. I do not spend hours searching, seeking in the Word of God for anything. I read it spasmodically, not even very on a systematic basis. Most of you should do that. I don't do that. I have done it in the past, but in these days, I don't do it. But God just quickens the Word to me. I wrote 10:30 this morning, after all I did, I slipped back in there with one scripture verse. He unloaded this whole thing on me in 20 minutes. It's already inside. Y'all sit any way you want to. No studying, no agonizing. It's just like fire! Shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The Word of a living God.
Hallelujah.
Same thing with last Sunday. Now, what did God show me last Sunday? He showed me why He made man to begin with. And then He showed me why He's saving man. You see, and I'll try to give you a little bit of it in a nutshell. He didn't save you for yourself. If you think that God will not destroy somebody, you're out of your mind.
Right.
The very birth of Jesus Christ, more people died the day He was born than He saved. 2,000 little kids were immediately wiped out.
Amen.
Just because Jesus was born.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
More people are going to go to hell because Jesus was born, then I go to go to heaven. If Christ would not have been born and died on the cross, God would not be justified in destroying any man.
Amen.
How could an all righteous, all holy God send somebody to hell when He made him to sin?
Amen.
Without providing a redemption from that sin. How could God say He is all righteous and all holy and send a man to hell without giving that man a hope of salvation?
Amen.
He couldn't do it.
Amen.
He couldn't do it.
Amen.
So He sent His Son Jesus, who became a propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. That all men stand before Him without blame. God will save you for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. God will forgive you for Christ's sake. No man needs to go to hell. You can be saved. And yet men refuse that salvation. Why did God make man? You've got to understand that heaven is incomplete today. For approximately 6,000 years now, or maybe a little longer, time has only existed about 6,000 years, by the way. That may be difficult for you to understand, but time has not always existed. When the Bible says in the beginning God, it means in the beginning of time, as we know it. God has always existed. He is eternal. Without beginning, without ending, so there's never been time to God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no time with God. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day to God. So time to God is standing still.
Amen.
I guess I should have stayed off of that because I got you all confused on that one already. Just that little statement. But God had to do something. He did not intend in any time in past eternities to deal with a people like us. He had created heavens, and in those heavens He had angelic beings. He never had rebellion. He never dealt with rebellion. Sin was never in His place. And then one day, one of those angels rebelled against God, rose up against heaven. That angel was Lucifer. He took the angels under his authority and caused them all to rebel with him. There was a fight, there was a war, a rebellion in heaven, and God cast Satan down to earth. He did not take away his power. He did not take away his authority. He just confined his power and his authority to this earth. Now when Satan was cast out of heaven with all those angels, it left a void in heaven.
Yeah.
It left an emptiness in heaven. Yeah. Lucifer's job was to take charge of worship. And as I've said before, and I'll say it again, a God who is served is not a God.
Right.
A God who is worked for is not a God.
Right.
The one attributes or the one attribute that makes a God is that He is worship. He is worship. Do you understand that? Even though God still had Gabriel and Michael and 2/3 of the angels and the heavens and everything still going along according to
his original plan. There had become a void in heaven. Sin had entered into heaven. There was an emptiness in heaven. Come on. And even though he had angels who served him, he had angels who worked for him, the worship angels were gone. Worship stopped in heaven. And God could not make his claim hold if he could not be worshipped.
Oh, God.
Satan challenged him as God. He said, I'll stop worshiping you. I'll set myself up on your throne. I'll get these angels here to worship me. And once they start to worship me, your job as God is in jeopardy. God said, boy, you ain't going to do it. So he threw him out. Vacated his position in heaven. And a third of the angels came with him. Now God says, I got to find somebody who will worship me. So God said, let us make man. We'll make him a little lower than the angels. But we'll destine him for glory and honor and praise. It's like I said last week. That God is going to allow us to take the place of those angels. Did he say in the kingdom you will be as the angels? Did the Bible say that the Father is seeking such to worship him? Did Jesus stand at the old Jacob's well and say to the woman, the Jews worship in the temple, you Samaritans worship in this mountain, but the time has come and now is that they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then he stopped dead in his tracks. He said, that's what I'm down here for. I'm looking for those who will worship God. I'm looking for those. I'm going to restore them lost ones. I'm going to bring them back to worship. Hallelujah. I'm going to feel heaven one more time. So you see, Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's the hope of heaven. Who took Satan's place? Who took Satan's place in heaven? Jesus did.
Amen.
He came down. He came a little lower than the angels. Come on. Overruled. Defeated Satan. Took away the keys. Took away his authority. Took away his position. And then he arose from the dead. Sat down on the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Getting ready to restore all things back to the Lord God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
You know, sometimes I know folk get mad at me when I walk away in disgust. I know you're sitting there and you say, why is he acting like that? Because I'm looking at this again and I can see Jesus saying, to what do I liken this generation? Just how do I describe you this morning? If I was going to go out here and describe this service to the world after I have preached this glorious, magnificent truth, Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you is going to take the place of the sun in the heavens. Come on. There'll be no need of the sun. There'll be no need of stars. Come on. Because we're going to be lighting up the universe. Glory to God. Christ in you. Jesus said, how do I liken this generation? I have piped onto you, but you haven't danced. I have given you music to shout by and sing by, but you won't sing. I have given you a reason for getting excited this morning. I have given you a reason for shaking up yourself a little bit and saying, I'm going through. Hallelujah. I've given you a reason for you to lift up your head and rejoice. 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 For Christ in you is the hope of glory. Can't you understand? Are you so dense in your mind that you can't understand that the issue is here is God's sovereignty? Do you understand that statement? Is He God? Almighty God! The great I Am! If the devil can ever prove in one instant that He's not almighty, or all-powerful, or all-merciful, or all-loving, he destroys the integrity and the sovereignty of God. God ceases to be God. And the battle rages. The devil said, I'm going to steal everything from you, God. I'm going to get people to worship me, honor me, serve me. I'll bring them down. I'll hook them on drugs. I'll slap them and make them my slave with cigarettes. I'll drive them with passions and lust. I'll entice them with material things. Anything that will make them choose against you and serve me. And I'll make them do it. I'll bind them. I'll destroy them. And they'll serve me. Now God can't do that. God is love. He can't compel worship. It only has to come from an act of will. And He's given you that will. And He says unto you, if you will to do His will, you shall learn of the doctrine. You shall have the revelation of the mystery. What is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Heaven's on trial today, saints. God is on trial today. He said, oh, George down here. Oh, George thought he was coming down here just to work for Daco. But the Lord said to him, no, I'm going to put you down there, and Satan is going to have free access to you, George. You've been telling me you love me. You've been telling me you're going to serve me. And I got to prove to the devil that you really want to do it out of your own will. All right. So George comes down here, and the devil says, let me at him. Let me at him. I'm going to get George away where he can't honor God, where he can't worship God. Let me at him. And old Satan starts throwing at him. And old George says, no, sir. I am worshiping God. I'm going to serve the Lord. And the old devil sitting over here just quaking, saying, I can't get George. Hey, God don't need the whole world. All he needs is one man to say, He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Hallelujah. That's all he needs. The devil may get 10,000 times 10,000 to deny God. But if he can't get one person, like old Job. Oh, what a trip that was. Oh, Satan boldly walks back into the throne of heaven, sitting up there on the throne of with Almighty God. And Satan come walking right in there with Michael and Gabriel and all the angelic host. Just marching right on in there. Stood right in front of God, and God says, what are you doing here? Well, he says, I'm coming back to give you my report. See, Satan is under God's authority. He still got to report back to God. He's still got to give an account of what he's doing. And he goes up to the throne of God, and he says, I have been going to and fro throughout the earth. That's my charge. God said, how's things going down there? Well, he said, pretty good. I got things pretty well under control. I got kings worshiping me. Bishops worshiping me. False religions springing up, all honoring me. Passions and pride glorifying me. I won't be long. I'm going to get you on that throne anyhow. Won't be long. God said, you overlooked something, boy. What I overlooked? Have you considered my servant Job? There ain't nothing like him in all the earth. Amen. Perfect. Amen. Fears God and shuns evil. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God Almighty. What do I got to do around this place? Oh, Satan's head drops. He said, yeah, I've been over there checking him out. Said, I did the best I could to get to the old boy. He said, but you got a hedge around him. Hallelujah. Said, you got to protect it. You're keeping your promises to him. Satan says, I'll tell you what you do, God. Drop the hedge. Let me get to him. Before the day goes by, I'll have him cursing you to your face. God says, not Job. Job loves me. He don't care about those blessings. Yeah, well, you got to prove it, God. All right. Okay. So you go down and you touch him. Take anything he got. Just don't touch him on. Just don't touch his own self, his own person. Just leave him alone. You take away everything Job got. When is the Christian church going to recognize the story of Job as an end time prophecy? These last few years, Satan has gone back to heaven and been accusing the brothers. Amen. Standing before the throne of God, picking on all the saints, picking out all their faults. Amen. And God has said to him, have you considered my church? My church. My people. The ones who have been purchased with the blood of my son. And Satan says, yeah, I go down and check them out, but I can't get to them. You got your angels giving them charge, and they're protecting them, and they're bringing them through the fire, and they're taking them through the flood, and they're fighting their battles for them, and the Holy Spirit is comforting them and quickening them and keeping them. He said, I can't touch them. All I can do is run around and roar at them, but I can't touch them. God has now said to Satan, I'm going to drop the hedge. That's exactly what this man told you this morning. Said, God showed me when I come down here that the hedge was going to be dropped. He didn't say that. He said, I was told I was going to be tested. All the weak parts in his life that God has sort of built the wall up so the devil couldn't touch him, he dropped them. He dropped the hedge this week. He dropped it this week. And here come the devil. Whack. 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 And that's happening to the church. It's happening to the body of Christ. Christians are moaning, groaning, crying under the trials, the temptations, the adversities, the oppressions that are coming against us on a daily basis, continually being oppressed. Come on, amen. Only those that love their God are standing firm, reaching out, holding on, and crying, He is God. I don't mean to preach the whole story of Job this morning. Don't have no intention of doing that. But I want you to know that this is the final test for the church. These last few days we've got to live. Amen. You're going to have to walk without feeling.
Amen.
You're going to have to survive without emotional love. Amen. You're going to have to know what love is without feeling.
Amen.
What's wrong with us today? We're all wrapped up in this old physical manifestations.
Amen.
You have to know the Word of God to walk upon it and stand the test. Can you picture Job? I've preached it many times. The last test that Job went through. There's seven tests that Job went through. Seven of them. Every Christian will go through those seven tests. The church in general goes through those seven tests. The last one that Job went through was seemingly forsaken by God. The first one was prosperity. The second one was loss of property. The third one was loss of family. The fourth one was loss of health. The fifth one was criticized by his friends. The sixth one was turned on by his wife, domestic trouble. And the last one was God seemed to forsake him. Every Christian goes through them. We've all been tested with prosperity, and most of us have failed it. God gives you $10, He's trying you to see how you're going to handle the money. God gives you $100, He's putting you to a test. If He can't trust you with $10, He sure ain't going to trust you with $100. If He can't trust you with $100, He's sure not going to trust you with $1,000. And most Christians think God is blessing them for themselves. And just as soon as God gives a little money, they go spend it on themselves, for their family. Most ministries do the same thing. Most churches do the same thing. Take in money just for their own work, their own ministry. I was telling Brother Wilkinson and his daughter this morning, when he left here this last time and preached here, I took that tape and put it on my broadcast, WRYO, out of Crystal River, and I announced this meeting in Gainesville. And I looked at them. You know, I said, you know, preachers don't do that.
Amen.
Preachers don't do that.
Look,
it's amazing. It's amazing. You listen to preachers on radio? How many times do you hear any preacher promoting another man's ministry? On a station where it's costing me money, I put him on, he preached the whole broadcast twice.
Amen.
Then I told him where he was at.
Amen.
Preachers don't do that, my friends. You hard-headed. You don't admit to things like that. It bothers you when you see somebody doing something like that. Preachers don't do that.
Amen.
They just don't do it. They should, but they don't. I didn't say they were right in not doing it. But prosperity. God has blessed us many times with prosperity. We buy new cars, new homes, more clothes, better food. How in the world can you ever learn self-denial if you have nothing to deny yourself of? And one of the main byproducts of Christianity and followers of Christ is they deny themselves. Though they could have a better car, or better clothes, or more money. Though God has blessed them so they can have almost anything they want, they deny themselves of that in order to promote the gospel, to reach someone else, to alleviate somebody else's suffering. That's what... Boy, am I getting... Had them all shouting a little while ago, didn't I? Just a little while ago, they was all wanting to go to heaven. Yes, sir. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, all of a sudden, you mean to... I'll pay my tithe, you cheapskate. You pay the First National Bank 18%. You pay Montgomery Ward 15%. You pay the credit union 16%. And then you want to act like you're doing something when you give God 10%? You crook. Well, if I give God more money, I'll have less. That has never been proven true. Never. Never. It's never been proven true. Never. 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 When we were in Hawthorne, Florida, 6 nights out of the 2 weeks we were there, nobody came. And we were about at the bottom of the barrel, not talking about finances. We weren't having no financial trouble. We were all right. We had our bills paid. But there was nobody coming. And my very soul was being taxed. Why am I, you put me through this, God? And one night, Brother Wilkerson came. Oh, I can't tell you what that old black face meant to me. Old black, whatever you want to call him. He was my brother. He didn't have no money. I said, boy, I'm glad to see you. He brought a few of these old saints with him. Gave me somebody to preach to. Got the word back working in my heart. And I begin to rise up out of the old doldrum. Come on, amen. I actually gave him money to come. I said, here, brother, here's some money for gas. Keep coming. Keep coming. Huh? Did I get blessed? Sure I did. Before the time was over, I went to Gainesville and God gave me $700. Huh? Did Brother Wilkerson get blessed? Sure he did. He's up here, staying here, living here, eating here, and getting blessed. Come on, get it all back. Couldn't pay for it, but tried. You can't be God. You can't be God. You can't be God. You old black people. The old black people, when they were so poor, they could hardly get enough money. They used to have to bring the preacher eggs and chitlins to. Because they had no money.
Amen.
Come on. And they'd bring them little old chickens and their little old food to the preacher because they had no money. Some of these young folks don't remember, but the older folk remember when the black folk had no money. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your grandpas and your grandma didn't have no money.
Amen. Amen.
When I first came around here, I knew black people who were working around here 15 years ago, sir, making $10 a week.
Right.
Am I telling the truth, Brother Ed?
Yeah.
$10 a week, $5, they had no money. And them old black people, boy, they'd go and pack the church. They would pack the church.
Yeah.
And they'd sing an old song, you can't beat God-given.
Amen.
No matter how you try, the more you give, the more He gives to you. So just keep on giving. Huh? Then God begin to bless you. And you start to move on up to the east side. Start to get them new cars like white folks. You don't hear them sing about giving no more. They don't sing it no more, honey. Ah, they don't quit the giving now. They don't. No more giving now. Oh, the Lord blessed me so I can have more. You passed it. You failed the test. Oh, Brother James over here, bless his old heart. I love him. I might work on you, James, but I love him. You know, and you got to understand, my preaching is to change us, to bring a transformation in your life completely, a complete turnaround. One of the first things happened to James when he got saved, when he started making money. He told me time and time again, I took him at his word. He said, man, I got so much work. Is that what you told me, Brother James? See? I mean, God just picked him up a few months before that. Didn't hardly have enough money, hardly rent a place to live in. Right. So he gave his heart to Christ, even though he still smokes a little bit. Right. God said, I'll take him at his word. I'll start blessing him. Right. Huh? Now he's going to lay them cigarettes down. God ain't going to keep on blessing them by cigarettes.
Amen.
He's blessed them so he can quit buying them.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Because I've been long-suffering with you all, folk, don't think I'm approving of it. Lay it down, lay it down, lay it down, put it down. Somebody say, when? Last week. You're already overdue. Barry! I'm going to preach about every Sunday till I hear a victory sound somewhere. I'm going to preach about it. I'm going to make you feel out of place. You're failing the test. You're failing the test. You're failing. And you know what happens when you fail the test? You get put back. When you don't pass the test, you don't move on to the next grade. You get put back. You don't want to be put back, do you? You want to go further, don't you? My God. I'd say to that little cigarette once for all, boy, I am a conqueror. I'd stick them right in my pocket and laugh at them.
Amen.
I'd take them on and say, ha, 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 stay back there where you belong. And then when I got good victory over them, I'd get around a bunch of guys who smoke and pull out the biggest pack I could get, put it right on the ground, say, you guys like to have a cigarette? And when they all reach for one, say, sorry. I'd make a mess out of that thing. Hallelujah. And then I'd go one step further. I'd say, from now on, if you're working with me, no smoking. In my house, no smoking. I don't smoke and you ain't gonna smoke. I'll feed you my victuals. I'll give you my black-eyed peas. I'll give you a glass of iced tea. But don't you bring that smoke in my house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I wish somebody say, praise the Lord. My message models.
Amen.
I asked the Lord. I asked the Lord, and don't get angry with me, George. Don't get angry with me. But I was deeply troubled when I heard about Brother Britton.
I said, Lord, the man had a stroke.
Bother me.
Hallelujah.
I'm talking about the. I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, why that man? Why are you on that second one? Why? I said he didn't keep himself in my hands. Got a church back there in Springfield, Missouri, filled with spirit-filled people. One telephone call and 200 of them could have been on their face all night long. 200 could have been right on their face fasting and praying, saying, you can't take our leader. You can't smite this shepherd. He's ours. Don't you tell me God wouldn't have garnished the kingdoms of heaven down. Come on, come on. Come on. Come on. Don't you tell me God wouldn't have stepped out of the portal and some folk would have went to fasting and praying and say, we're going to stay right here and we're not going to let you go until you bless us. And I talk about the way my finger got blown off. 220 volts of electricity right around here. We had about 6 or 7 people here. The question of going to a hospital, a doctor, never even crossed our mind.
Amen.
I staggered out of the old thing, finger blown right off. I stood there, couldn't hardly stand. I said, honey! Sister Williams! Boy, they come and got a hold of me. Billy come. Sheila, were you here? Who else was here? Patty and Billy come, boy. You never heard such praying in all your life. Sister Williams over there, all of a sudden, she went staggering. When she staggered, I got strong. I said, what's wrong with you? She took the strength that she had went right into my body, and the weakness that I had went right into hers. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's right. Just bought it from him. That weakness was about ready to throw me. Her body was a little stronger at that time. She just took it in her body, and that strength came from her into me, and I just walked right on. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And people don't even know. People don't even know how the devil even battles even more. That afternoon we had a service in Charleston. He still wasn't finished, but he still tried. Remember that, honey, how we had a little fight, you and me? Even though I was walking around no finger off, the devil said, I'm still going to stop him. I was supposed to preach in Charleston that afternoon. I just blown a finger off. 220 volts of electricity, brother, went sailing through my body, standing in water. You hear me? Electrician come out here to pull the plug. He asked the question. He said, Who's the man that touched that? And they said, that's him right there. He said, he's still walking around.
Amen.
Wrapped up the old finger. Devil, come at me again. Had to battle him again. After everybody had left, we had a battle. Me and my wife had a little old dis. It wasn't worth nothing. Worth nothing. You know, most fights that husband and wife have aren't worth nothing. Ain't worth nothing. Come on, the devil just blows them out of proportion. Come on. Ain't worth nothing. When it's all over, you can't even find out what you was fighting about. Come on. Ain't worth nothing. Come on. Y'all be saying, man, I'll throw this water. Y'all say amen to me. I'll baptize this whole bunch. You say what you want to say. I know that God gave me a dispensation of the gospel. When I told this kid last night, I said, my God, just go get a job and support me. Amen. I'm the preacher.
Right.
Everybody wants to come around and be the preacher. Can't you see I'm the preacher? Can't you see that?
Amen.
I'm the preacher.
Amen.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Take the burden off my shoulder.
Amen.
I'll get the message. When your time comes, it'll be your time. But right now, hold up my hands.
Amen.
Come on! Every man of God today has to deal with a bunch of subordinates who want to become the boss, who want to take over, want to be the big shot.
Amen.
I often tell them about Moses. Here's Moses holding his hands up. On one side stood Aaron. On the other side stood Joshua. Both chosen vessels.
Amen.
How come when Moses got tired, he just didn't put his hands down and say, Aaron, put your hands up.
Amen.
Chosen vessel.
All right.
He was a chosen vessel. Why Joshua took Moses' place? Why did they say, Joshua, put your hands up? Why did they have to hold his hands up? I mean, Joshua on one side held this one up, and Aaron on that side held. You see, it took two of Aaron's to hold up one of Moses. It took two hands of Joshua to hold up one of Moses. Come on, because those were the hands that was reaching right into heaven. Hallelujah. Those were the hands that was pulling God down. Don't you understand it? Oh, Moses, my friend, had his imperfection, but he was God's man. Everybody comes around here and thinks that God sends them over here to take my place. He ain't sending you here to take my place. He's getting here to you to do something so I can take my place. I got a letter the other day from a sister in Mobile, Alabama. Brother Chris, the manager put me on the radio. He said, if you can give me 6 months in advance, he said, I'll put you on for $100 a week. I felt in my soul I should do it. I said, Brother Chris, give me the money. The man pays $300 tithe every month or more. He buys material. He does the work. He went right home, no question, sent me $2,600. No question. Never asked for it back. Never mentioned it. I went on the radio for 6 months. I was there, hardly getting any mail. Hardly getting any. Hardly getting any. I wrote the station, said, take me off. My contract's up. I can't pay anymore. Don't have no more money. The man called me, said, Brother, just stay on a little while longer. I said, man, I ain't got the money. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take 2 more weeks. And I'll make an appeal on that station. Telling the people I got to have some support. I did it. All of a sudden, one letter comes. Just one in the last 2 weeks. Just one from Mobile. Just one letter. Just one letter. Just one. $28, that's all. Little old sister just got saved a month ago. She said, I've been listening to the preachers on that station, all of them. She said, you're the only one that comes through with the Spirit of Truth.
Amen.
She said, please stay on that station. I need what you're telling me. I need what you're saying to me. I think I'm going to give that letter to you, Brother Chris. Go and give it to you and let you take it home and frame it on the wall. on the wall. Because sometimes the devil makes you think you ain't doing nothing. But one soul, one chosen vessel, one lost one that belongs in the family of God to complete the worship of heaven. For Christ in you is the hope of glory. Don't you understand? When this thing's all over with and Christ gets ready to restore it back to the Father, if there's one person missing, we're not complete. It will not be complete. Don't you understand? That's why Jesus said, Father, I thank you for those that thou hast given me. And I'm going to bring them to you, Father. I'm going to bring George. Do my best to get old Leona. I'm going to bring Chris. I'm going to bring old Wilkerson. They were chosen in me before the found. He's going to bring old Ed. And I'm going to bring them up here and they're going to say, holy, 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 holy. The angels that left, that lost their first estate were cast down, were angels that said holy. They were angels that said, God be the glory. There's nobody saying holy in heaven tonight. Today there's nobody saying praise God in heaven tonight. But when we get back into that glory world and restored back, we're going to be around the throne hollering, holy, 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 holy. Heaven is going to be complete. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's the thing that's going to secure God's position as God. I'm about to say praise the Lord. That's why the Apostle Paul said, we're looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath God begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let this hope be in you. Let this faith be in you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I wish somebody would raise your hands and call his name today. What a mighty God we serve. Praise be to his name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful, not slow in doing God's business. Be fervent in the Spirit. Get excited about it. The word fervent means to boil over. Get red hot. Get enthusiastic about it. Time to go to church. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad it's prayer time. Coming back into the presence of God. Thank God I got this $10 I can give this morning. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Should he get it now? Look at what he says. He says, be not slothful in business. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Why? Why? Because I'm rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. Hallelujah. I'm rejoicing in hope. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Looking for that blessed hope. Come on, rejoicing in hope. We haven't got it yet. It's not in our hands yet. It's in our spirit. It's in our mind. It's a prize. It's out there in the front of us. Run, run, run with patience. A race is set before you. Endure the cross. Bear the burden. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say, help me, Lord. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his wonderful name. Rejoicing in hope. Now, now the God of hope. Now the God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say praise the Lord. Yeah. That you may abound in hope. Now you may abound in hope. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in believe in this, he says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Refreshed how? In the hope of our calling. In the hope of our tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you talking about, Paul? Paul said, I'm talking about forgetting those things that are behind and pressing towards the prize. What is the prize? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. 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 God help us. You know, people try to tell you the difference between Old Testament and New Testament religion. Old Testament religion was a religion without hope. It had no hope. The last chapter of the first book of Genesis ends with this phrase, a coffin in Egypt. The last chapter of the first book of the Bible, giving us the first 2,000 year history period, ends with a coffin in Egypt. Death in this old world. But the last book of the New Testament ends with this phrase, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Oh, no coffin in Egypt. No grave going to hold our body down. No decaying, hallelujah. The King is coming! The hope of the church! Glory be to God, hallelujah. But if the ministration of death, Old Testament, but if the ministration of death, coffin in Egypt, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, even that was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. I mean, even under that Old Testament law that ministered death, convincing men they were separated from God. That's what it did. That's what it did. The law was given to show men they needed Christ. Trying to prepare the world to accept the Savior when He came. You're in desperate, desperate, hopeless situation. You have no God and you're without hope in this world. That old law said, do not do this, and we've done it every time. Don't do this, don't do that, and everything it told us that we shouldn't do, we've done. Come on, yes sir. We've done it. Come on, we broke the law. We stand guilty before God. We need a Savior. We need a Christ. We need a Lord. Come on. That's all it did. But even that law had glory to it. And Paul says over here, he says, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which was glory to be done away with. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. In other words, even though it had some glory, it saved no one. It brought no one to God. It brought no hope to anybody. But still it had some glory. He said, but if that glory that was worthless, he said, for if that which is done away with, the old law, the old glory was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have this hope, we use such plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, mistakenly in the writing of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. But we all, with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are charged unto the same image from glory to glory, even so by the Spirit of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Ah, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ in you is the hope of glory. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him on His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and mights and dominions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the one that is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And you, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the way you lived, among whom also we all had our conversation. We talked like them. We lived like them. We moved like them. And He said, we in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come, Lord God Almighty, amen. Hallelujah. 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 In the ages to come. In the ages to come. In the world tomorrow. I want to tell you something. Remember the story of rich man and Lazarus? You know who Lazarus was and is? He's a church. Church. Suffered all of his life. Kicked around by the world. And was died and carried to heaven. Abraham was. You know who the rich man represents? The devil. When God finally takes the church and puts us in heaven, in Abraham's bosom, in his possession, He's going to let the devil sit there and look at us. Like the rich man looked up and he saw Lazarus. Oh, Satan has stood before the throne of God and challenged him all his years, all his time. God's going to say, here it is, boy. These are the ones who came through the fire, through the flood, through the blood. Not by compulsion, but by their own will, they chose between you and me, and they declare, I am God. And the devil's going to say, yeah, where? And he's going to look over and he's going to see old Thomas. He's going to see old Brother George. And old Brother said, He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Every knee. He won't have to put us down. We'll go right on down. I'm about to say amen. To Him alone is worthy. I'm about to say amen. Oh, they're going to praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Stan, where do you get that from? Right there. In the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. Well, how did those people get up there? By my grace. Why did they choose you over me? Because of my grace. Why did they say, away with Satan, but to God be the glory? Because of grace. 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 Hallelujah. Grace. Glory be to God. I don't believe you people know what I'm talking about. I really don't. I'm a little bit troubled here. I'm going to close with one more verse. 1 John 3:3. Every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself. I hope this morning, Brother James, I helped you just a little bit to get a glimpse of the hope. It won't be nothing to put them cigarettes down if you see what you're going to get in return. Won't be nothing, old Barry. Put them things down if you can find out that you're going to stand in the presence of the King of Kings. Not with a cigarette, though. You know what you're going to do? Blow smoke in his face? You wouldn't do that to the Lord, would you? Amen. Somebody said, you're getting hard, Brother Stair. Am I? Some of you folk eating too much? You want to go up there looking like pigs? Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Get it trimmed down. Get it in shape. See, your body got to fit into his body. And if you're out of shape, he'll have a hard time fitting you in there. You know some of you folks hard to get you some seats?
Amen.
Hard to get you some doors?
Amen.
You don't fit too well, do you?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Now, door's already built.
Yeah.
Can't build no other door. He's the door.
Yeah.
Got to come in at that door. He comes up there, you get them.
Thank you.
Hey, we're all one body.
Amen.
Can you imagine putting a fat finger on a skinny hand?
Amen.
Hey, don't let nobody fool you. God is concerned about the way you take care of your body.
Amen.
He's concerned about it. Said, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Said, don't you know if you destroy the body, God will destroy you?
Amen.
You didn't know that's in the Bible? That's what God says.
Amen.
Said, you don't take care of this body, I'm going to destroy you.
Thank you, Lord God. Glory. I know what he's all through. I know.
Amen.
He won't tell everybody.
Amen.
He never goes around these business places. He goes to these hotels, boy. Not in New York, I can hardly get off the elevator. Like the old chick there and say, hey, man, you want something? Have a knock on the door. Yeah, boy, he takes a lot of God. Hello.
Amen.
Never know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You got to keep yourself in check.
Amen.
Well, I go up to a little piece of time ago, down the closet, just go up there. We weren't going to go in. It's supposed to be. There's a bunch of men and women running around with clothes up and let's get out of here.
All right.
Well, did you go see the water? Yeah, I was see the water, but I could see the water all the newness around. All right.
Amen.
All right. I wouldn't recommend you do that, James.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know you're about to say we're back. You boy.
Amen.
Don't be a fool. That's the devil out there throwing that stuff out there all the time. You gotta watch yourself, you gotta keep yourself in the jet. Why? Because Christ is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That would be my point clear.
Amen.
Heaven is empty tonight. God
sits
on the throne and nobody worships him.
Amen.
God in heaven
praises the people.
Right.
Amen.
And he prays, he says, boy, God sits up there, here comes old Gabriel. Here comes old Gabriel. Yes, Gabriel, what are you doing? Well, I've been over here taking care of things. I've been serving you and I've been doing what you told me to do. That's fine. Here comes old Michael. See, Gabriel's a serving angel, Michael's a fighting angel.
Amen.
Lucifer was a worship angel. Three archangels over Chuck. Three thirds. One third was under Michael, one third under Gabriel, one third under Lucifer.
Amen.
God always does things by authority and order.
Amen. That's right.
Lucifer's job was to worship. When he fell, he took all the angels and worshiped under him. There sits God. Michael's still doing his job. Fighting the battles of heaven and earth, come on. Gabriel's still doing his, but nobody worshiping. And all of a sudden, two or three people get together somewhere.
Amen.
And they say, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And here it comes. He's got fire of glory to God.
Holy!
Holy! Holy!
Hey!
I was trying to figure out, my wife and I had a little allocation last night again. And I was trying to figure out what I did wrong. We got into bed. We decided to stay down in down by the tent to get a good night's rest. We had a camper there. We liked the camper. So we got into bed. We didn't get to sleep about 11:30 anyhow. But the devil decided to mess us up.
The Bible said there's going to be silence in heaven for a space of 1.5 hours.
And I just got the revelation of it. Somebody said, well, let's go back and study it, make sure you get the Greek and the Hebrew. I'm going to see what the spiritual revelation is. I'm sick of these people taking the Bible and tearing it apart, trying to put it in its proper historical place. It's the living word of God written to us in the
text.
It has nothing to do with Jewish history.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the past.
Hallelujah.
It only has to do with the now.
Hallelujah.
Space of a half an hour. I'll just sit there and the Lord said, son, you know that scripture where it says there's going to be space of heaven of a half an hour of silence? Yeah, Lord. Have you ever Did you know what that's going to be? I said, what's going to be, Lord? If I'm doing all my life, y'all won't believe me.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what he told me. Right here. He said, if you won't be ashamed of me before men, I won't be ashamed of you before the Father and the holy angels. And after that great judgment day when we've all received our well done, he's going to say, the judge is going to go, silence! Silence in the heavens! And the saints are going to come marching up. You hear me? And the angels are going to have to stand and look at us. And he's going to say, these are my chosen. These have been restored to the kingdom of our God.
That when an angel says holy to God, it has no meaning. A redeemed man, when he cries, holy, holy. Angels are programmed. If I had myself a robot over here, and it was programmed to say, I love you, Brother Sarah. 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 I thought, oh, shut up. I pushed this button and shut it up. Before my watch was over. Looked all around me. And I love you, honey.
Amen.
Don't you understand the angels that are saying Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna?
Make these people stop praising you. No, can't do that. God must be praised. If they don't pray, the rock will.
Right. Amen.
But I don't want the rock. I'll be praised, but it won't mean anything to me. A rock saying, holy, 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 holy. No good. But somebody who's been redeemed.
Amen.
Somebody who's been washed in the blood.
Hallelujah.
Walk down from the hold down. Hold that on your
head. Hallelujah.
I'm trying to see where you get that part across. There you go.
Jesus. Thank you.
Brother. I'll tell you another story. My father only had one arm, a hard-working man. One night I saw my father crying.